Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, now is the time for us to finally launch Shit Odd Shows Taught Me. Or as I've been saying, SASTM for about a few years. Maybe it's time. Maybe not. Maybe it's just time for us to do whatever the fuck we want.
I mean, I feel like we've been doing that, honestly, we set arbitrary rules for our podcast that we then
follow 90% of the time.
99% of the time.
I know. We are honestly so disciplined.
Usually we very much are. However, if there was a time to make an exception, this is it. Also, Best in Show came out in 2000, meaning they most likely filmed in 99. So
guaranteed.
Pretty much we're following our own rules. However, we had to make an exception for this movie, Best in Show, because there's a huge connection here. We have Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy starring together, husband and wife, in the movie Best in Show. And it just so happens, Sarah, that this week... Well, maybe last week. I don't know when this is going to come out. It's relatively recently.
This week.
Yeah, I'll edit it and post it. I've edited it. What am I doing? Yes, it's going to come out this week.
Yeah, what? Stop fucking slacking. Just because you have another podcast that you're about to announce in 1 second doesn't mean that you can get away with not doing your work for this podcast.
Listen, this will post this weekend. So anyway, there's another podcast and it's called Talking Shit. And in case you're unfamiliar, that's talking without a G, and it's shit, not like shit the 90 shows taught me, not that, not shit 90 shows taught me. It is shit, S-C-H-I-T-T, as in Schitt's Creek, and Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy are stars on that show. And so we had to talk about this movie with my co-host on my other podcast, Stuart, who is here to talk about Best in Show. Stuart, hi. That was a very long intro. Welcome.
That really was. That was seeing a real shit show in like full play.
I'm always following the shit. Please
get her to tighten up her intros and outros.
I know. I mean, this is one thing
that you can do.
All right, this is not the complaint corner for the Jessica Sterling department.
Well, okay? It very well might be.
I'm here to like tighten things up and just say, look, this is not going to be happening. You guys set rules. Why are you allowing naughties films just to like accommodate this buffoonery? What's going on?
Well, Sarah, tell us why we watched this movie, because this was kind of we all agreed, right? Like Eugene Levy, yes. Catherine O'Hara. However, this is like a Sarah fave from her childhood.
I mean, Yeah, like I really, so I always really enjoyed the mockumentary style of movies. And I think that it mainly came from Best in Show. I'm trying to think about like what other mockumentaries I really enjoyed because I wasn't around like watching The Office, but I think it's probably how like you ran into watching this movie when you were younger, Jess, was like animal lovers and like cute dogs and like you watch cute dogs. Mm-hmm. Because I'm trying to figure out like how else I would have like come across Best in Show, but this was definitely something that I watched as I don't know, like a young teen, maybe younger. I don't know. I really liked it. I love mockumentaries so much so that when I went to go to film camp in the summer of like junior year or sophomore year, I did a mockumentary as one of my films that I did. So it definitely was an inspiration to me. But yeah, like I really liked this movie and I still do. I think that it's like funny in a way that's like extremely like dry. Belle, shut the fuck up.
You can't tell your dog to shut the fuck up on a Best in Show podcast, Sarah. She's she would heard not all make about it. The Shih Tzus, and
she would like... not make it.
We're going to need to back up a little bit just because I knew this fact about you, but Stuart did not know that you went to film camp based on his reaction to that factoid.
I mean, first off, like camp is a very strange concept to me anyway. We don't really have like summer camps over here.
Yeah, film because camp? There's not a lot of Jews. Yeah. In England, right? You guys like tossed all those out and they all got beheaded or something.
I think it's more the fact that we don't really have really proper climates to accommodate. Mm-hmm. Like the whole idea of going somewhere, staying in cabins over the summer, like we're lucky.
But you have so much water that you can paddle around in.
Oh yeah, there's we have plenty of water. I mean, we've got enough of it falling from the skies at all times, but I don't think we've really got the real kind of like consistency of weather to really accommodate a bunch of children sleeping in cabins for like weeks on end. Film camp, though.
Yes.
Did you just go and like, and just film things? Like, what?
Okay, so
how does this work?
Okay, so this one in particular, I have been to sleepaway camp where you're in cabins and you go on like 3-day canoe trips and like the aforementioned like Jewish sleepaway camp. It's like a big thing that like American Jews like you go to sleepaway camp, but film camp was a little bit different because this took place in the heart of Dumbo, Brooklyn, New York. And basically you go there for a month or 3 weeks maybe, because it was each week you'd made a short film where there was like different sectors. So there was like the film camp division, then there is the actors division, then the photography, and it was kind of like an interactive thing where like us the film kids would like hire the acting kids to be in your movies, and then each week it was inspired by a different director and each one would build up on itself. So ultimately at the end of film camp you would have like 3 movies that you would be able to show for. And a lot of these kids that went were aspiring filmmakers and could use them towards your college reel, your university reel, would be like the ideal situation. Which
so much more organized than what we used to have for our summers. We used to go out and just vandalize things. So
This is some like rich kid bullshit, Stuart. I went to camp one time. It was for a weekend. I got homesick and I wrote a letter to my parents saying I wanted to go home, and I arrived home before the letter did because literally just really pathetic. I know.
Such
I
an
was
indoor
pathetic.
Girl.
I'm actually very outdoorsy. It wasn't that. It was the socialization aspect. Yeah. It felt like the other campers knew each other and I didn't know anybody. And so I was just like, I hate this. I want to go home. That's brutal.
How did they actually know each other, or you just felt that way?
There were a few people who did know each other. It was because like I think the camp I went to was kind of like a people had already been going for a few years, so like they just like vaguely knew each other and I was like new kid and didn't know anybody.
This is so sad.
I know.
Well, anyway, yeah. So this is so out. But I think the moral of the story is that, like, mockumentary type films were something that I was, like, really into, or at least the concept of it. And then it's something that we see a lot in maybe, like, 2000s television. Like, I'm thinking mm-hmm. Parks and Rec, The mm-hmm. Office.
Now Abbott Elementary is the newest one.
Yeah, where it's like, and I think that, like, even now I enjoy it, but this director, like, it's kind of like how there's always these clans, these director and actor clans that are, like, I'm thinking to who's the creepy guy? The guy.
You'll have to be more specific. In this movie, the creepy guy?
The creepy guy in Hollywood. Okay, narrow it down.
Okay, no. Tim Burton. No.
Oh, yeah.
That Tim creepy. Tim listen, Burton. There are many different types of creepy in Hollywood.
I know. Sorry.
Like, listen, okay, what you're saying, like, though, because you get, like, Tim Burton, Helena Bonham Carter, Johnny Depp.
Exactly.
You
like, get, that's like,
Chris
their
Nolan
plan.
And, yes. Like, and then all we of his have, gang.
Exactly. And then we have the other clan, the Wes Anderson clan, where he reuses mm-hmm. a lot of the actors. And this guy has his own clan. And
Christopher Guest.
His clan involves other movies in the likes of A Mighty Wind, For Your Consideration. And these are all, like, mockumentary style.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all she wrote.
Yeah. And so yeah. Eugene Levy also, like, co-wrote this I guess with Christopher Guest, and I just love Eugene Levy. I really love his, like, sort of humor. It really resonates with me. And Sarah, like, I watched this once upon a time when I was much younger. I had really no recollection of pretty much any of the plot,
really,
beyond it was, like, rude, you know, a dog movie, which I love. And so it kept happening where, like, anytime they'd introduce new characters, especially now that I'm an adult and I'm, like, more aware of, like, actors in general, I was like, holy shit. Like, the amount of famous people in this film is pretty astounding, especially when you consider that, like, I read that most of this movie is improvised, like, most of the dialogue is improvised, which is, like, insane, but makes sense when you watch it. And it's, again, it's very, like, mockumentary, very ridiculous and silly. And Stuart, considering we're watching Schitt's Creek, where we have, like, obviously a much older Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, but, like, all I could stare at was Eugene Levy's fake teeth in this. Jerry and his teeth.
I mean, something to take your eyes off of his eyebrows, I guess, which is probably a good thing for him.
Two left feet.
But I swear, like, although, you know, they've aged, I don't think they've, like, they haven't looked as if they've aged that much. Like,
yeah, except Eugene Levy's hair is, like, gray now instead of dark black. Yeah.
But, like, I still think of him as being the same age the whole way through, because he's just, I think he came out of the womb that age. Like, I mm-hmm. don't think he's ever not been kind of in his late 40s, early 50s kind of, like, situation. Seeing these two in different roles is strange. Because, well, I say that because Eugene Levy, like, playing a different role than what he's playing in Schitt's Creek, because I think of that as being, like, the typical Eugene Levy role. And this one, I'm just like, oh gosh, he's totally different. And, like, hearing Catherine O'Hara actually speak normally in a weird way is really surprising.
Yeah, they play Jerry and Cookie Fleck. They're from Florida, and so we have, like, five dogs and then five, like, sets of owners, basically, that are all going to Philadelphia for the Mayflower Kennel Club dog show. So they're all traveling from everywhere. So let's lay out our characters and our dogs, and we could say who our rooting interests were, because I certainly had rooting interests. I was like, I want this dog to win of all the dogs. So Jerry and Cookie Fleck, they're from Florida, which I wasn't surprised to hear after I met them. You know, like, I'm like, you're from Florida. Yeah, that makes sense. They have a Norwich Terrier, Winky. Very cute. Very cute dog. Sarah, I especially love the little songs that they wrote for Winky.
Oh, yeah. God Loves a Terrier is actually such a bop. And I believe that Eugene Levy wrote the Terrier songs. Yeah. And I mean, like the dog announcer said, it's hard to not love a little terrier, because, like, their little faces are so cute and they look so happy and their temperament's so nice and they don't bite anybody's faces or hands off. They're just Terriers are cute because, like, they're like, my goal in life is to catch a mouse. However, most of these dogs never run into finding any mice. So they're just like happy little dudes.
Yeah. I think Winky was so cute. And I was like, I liked Winky a lot. I was in on Winky when we met him. I was like, this is a cute dog. I would root for him. They go through some really ridiculous. So like Cookie very much has that like red lipstick, blue eyeshadow kind of vibe. One of my favorite running gags, Stuart, was just how many men she slept with everywhere she goes. She seems to encounter people that she has slept with previously. And poor Jerry has to put up with it.
I mean, incredible. I mean, she's got some reputation, and not even in the bad way. Like, seems like well-reviewed is how I would probably put it.
Very well-reviewed, which
I don't think a very bad thing.
Like, she's just gone. Yourself. She's had, like, a walk around the block.
If you exactly. A couple walks around the block.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is a very fun... It's a very fun, like, ongoing gag. And, like, just to see Eugene Levy's, like, brain explode. Because, like, he knew that he married, like, his hot-ass wife. But, like, he didn't know, like, the extent of it. And this is what happens when, like, you don't share your number in the start of a relationship. And then it just starts, like, unraveling. And also, what was it in the other Eugene Levy film? American Pie, like, you have to add,
like, oh yeah, if it's a
fact, five for men, and that's like the accurate number.
Yes.
So like, I think like it's just like very funny to have that go around. But yes, like, these two characters are probably one of the more likable sets of characters that we get throughout the film.
Yeah, I loved Jerry's hat that has a little picture of Winky on it. And Winky had his own little, oh my God, his own little winter hat, which was so freaking cute. But they run into trouble because, like, they don't have enough money to get the hotel. And
they're
so
kind
they end
of
up
poor
staying
bitches.
In the storage room.
How embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, this, I feel like this is a common thing. I will say, growing up, my brother and I both worked for a dog breeder that lived around the corner from us. And they bred Golden Retrievers and Corgis, and they like were not well off. Like, I felt like they invested all of their money and time into these dogs. Yeah. And so they were on the poorer side. And I don't know how common that is, but I will say, like, in my experience, it was certainly a thing. So it made sense to me, especially like, I imagine you're traveling on your own dime to like go to these sorts of events. So unless you have like a sponsor or something, which I haven't heard of. So yeah, they're traveling all the way from Florida to Philadelphia to compete, to have little Winky compete in this. And I love Jerry and Cookie. I love how Jerry has two left feet. And he does his little, you know, he gets to be the showman guy, like the what is it called? I forget what they're called. The handler.
Yeah.
During the show. So they were really fun. Next up, we have another couple. One of the more unlikable couples, I would say, Meg and Hamilton Swan. They're from Chicago, and they have a Weimaraner named Beatrice. And Sarah, like, they both have braces, which was such a choice for them to both have braces.
Yeah. I mean, it was Parker Posey's choice to actually get legit braces. These weren't, like, stunt braces.
Horrifying. The idea of getting real braces for a role. Just, we love Parker Posey.
Dedication. Yeah, Parker Posey, I think, terrifies me. Like, I think that, like, the only characters that I've seen Parker Posey play have been insane. So
the one from Josie and the Pussycats, do you remember her character?
That is exactly what I'm thinking about.
Yes.
Therefore, I will say that I'm kind of terrified of Parker Posey because I think that she's nuts. Because where else would you get that inspiration from?
Well, here's the thing, Stuart. So I'm a pet owner, and when I saw Parker Posey's character, they're very, like, obsessed with Beatrice. They're, like, constantly concerned about her thoughts and feelings. She caught them having sex, and she's traumatized by it. They're, like, going to therapy. They're trying to help her. I will say, like, when it came to, like, which dog owner I felt like I most resembled, I certainly have exhibited neurotic behavior when it comes to my dog and his well-being.
No.
However, they took it so far. Like, they brought their dog to see a therapist because Beatrice was traumatized by them having sex.
I don't think Beatrice was traumatized by
the camera. Well, they wasn't. That's exactly the issue, Jess.
She was just enjoying a bit of peace and quiet of them talking to another human being rather than to the dog constantly. Because that dog is just like, it was enduring so much throughout this entire film. Like when Hamilton's like screaming almost in the dog's face at one point, I was like, oh, poor Papa, I really hope that you're like getting all the treats and like getting like all the attention elsewhere and stuff. But these two, I don't know, I'm still aghast at the fact that you say like one of the more unlikable couples. This is the unlikable couple for me. Like, I could not stand them. Every time they came on screen, I was like, it's kind of, I hate them. It's kind of funny. But
well, they're
them.
Awful. Like, the whole Starbucks story is, like, ridiculous of how they met, where they met at different Starbucks across the street across from one another.
Where are they from? I forget.
Chicago.
Oh, they're from Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago suburb is.
Yeah, they really did give me a lot of anxiety. And I think, like, the thing is that, like, as a dog owner, I think that a lot of people really project their feelings onto like their dogs and like a lot of their anxieties and neuroses they were projecting onto Beatrice, because I agree with you, Stuart. Like, I don't think that the dog was bothered by the fact that they had sex. I just think that the dog was feeding off of her dog parents' energies. And I think that that is something that dogs do. Like, I think that a lot like kids, like, I think that, like, if you're exhibiting, like, anxious behavior, the dog is going to read that, and children, and they're going to, like, become, like, anxious children, babies, or dogs. Like, and I don't mean to, like, compare it. I'm just saying that, like, I've seen this with parents, like, anxious parents breed anxious children, and I also see it with dog children. But, so I do think it was a lot of projection, but, like, Jess, you are not going to get away with this podcast without me asking you if Winston is like, is he a runner when you and Will are intimate, or does he like stay and watch? Because I'm very happy to answer all questions, but I am going to force you to answer.
He's not a runner. No, he doesn't run away from
so
it.
So he watches.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he, like, he's not looking, but he's present. Like, he wants to be present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I would say.
A fucking freak. Okay.
He's
such a perv. Oliver was scared to bits. Like, hid under the bed. Like, went to the other room.
Well, terrified. You know what? That's not surprising, because Oliver is scared of literally everything. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ruby, scared to bits. We call her Prudy. She runs away.
Yeah, she's like, I'll just give you your privacy, thank you.
Belle, a fucking freak. She stays in the room.
Who's surprised by this? She humps beds. No one's surprised that she wants to watch.
She loves it. Belle loves it.
Nasty little whore. She wants to see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they certainly project onto poor Beatrice, and like they're too obsessed with her, right? The scene that got me anxious was like they lost the bee toy and they're like screaming at each other, and she's trimming Beatrice's whiskers, which I feel like you're not supposed to do because they're really sensitive. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I just felt awful for Beatrice the whole time, where they're like bringing her through the airport, everyone's screaming, this guy tries to pet their dog, which I'm like, you shouldn't just pet people's dogs without asking first.
Well, no, he did ask and they said yes,
and then she barked and he's like, oh my god, the dog barked at me. Fucker, it's a dog.
No. But he was like, they were freaking out at him and they were like, what'd you do to her? Like, what did you say? Yeah. It's like, he did fucking nothing. The dog has behavioral issues, but once again, I think that's a product of like how much anxiety Meg and Hamilton are spewing.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, I feel like Beatrice gets kicked out of the fucking dog show.
Yeah, she barks and jumps and everything.
They give her up.
Yeah, they're just like, she's the problem. She is the problem. It's not us, it's her. So let's get rid of her. And instead, let's get this fucking ugly little pug that
pugs
humps
are not
everything.
Ugly. It's not their fault that they have not a lot of don't ruin Stuart's people's product of dog.
Stuart, do you have a vested interest in pugs?
I really do not. Do not associate me with that.
I really can't. Listen, I know there's a breed out there for everyone. There are people who adore pugs. But if I had a dog and constantly was just listening to, I would die. I would die.
Is this bad point to say that my mom's got a puggle?
Puggles are different. Puggles are not brachycephalic and can actually breathe properly.
I mean, I kind of like the fact that they've taken two breeds of dog, one with like massive anxiety issues and then one with like real codependencies, and bred them together. I thought that was just a stellar choice.
We have a neighbor that has a puggle. They're cute. Yeah. I do like a puggle. Yeah, it's just, I mean, but let's face it, Sarah, like, the new dog they got looks like a humper, so like I guess it fits in with their like Kama Sutra stuff they're hanging out and doing.
I just think that these two people are absolutely fucking insane.
And they shouldn't have dogs is the answer,
right? And like it really does not sit right with me, the fact that like their answer was to give up the dog.
Of
but like,
not.
Where did where did the dog go? Like, that's
hopefully
what I want.
To a better fucking home.
I hope so. Like, it gives me, once again, it just like gives me a lot of anxiety. And like, like, especially in like my last few watch throughs of this show, like, or movie rather, like, I really did not enjoy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I do enjoy the fact that like not all five dog breeds made it to the last best in show round.
Yeah.
And I do like that there was a team that was being followed by this documentary that did not make it to the final round. Like, I do appreciate that. Like, that's good, because like, let's be realistic here. Like, there's, I don't know, one dog breed for every sort of dog. There's like, how many different, there's
the categories,
like eight different categories or something like that. Like, not everybody is going to make it. Like, a lot of the times I don't even get to see my favorite types of dog breeds broadcast on the television when I watch the Westminster Dog Show.
So sad for you.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Let's move on to Harlan Pepper, who's, I know he's from the South. I don't know that they say specifically.
He's from North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay. So he owns like a fishing goods store. And also, Sarah, tell me why everything we cover lately has ventriloquist dolls. Make it stop. I don't need them. I don't
I don't like it. But I do like him. I've always liked him. He's like a nice hug.
You know what, Stuart? I was smitten with this man from the minute that he's sitting out there. He has his little bloodhound Hubert, and he's just like messing with Hubert's like extra skin and talking about how he talks and he knows what people are saying and he can communicate. I was like, yes, Pepper, Hubert is adorable and smart.
You say about like kind of pets reflecting their owners, like with their anxieties and stuff like that. I think like Hubert and Harlan like together are a good mix, because they're less like, you've got Hubert there just droning. Harlan droning on with this monotonous drawl of just nothing. And then you've got Hubert just sat there, just like kind of,
just
listening along, just happy as anything. Oh, the pair of them, really endearing. I love the pair of them. Harlan, weird character. Weird. The ventriloquism had me rolling on the floor, though. Like, when he's practicing and like saying every word that has got B in it, and then like pulling up the little mirror to look at himself to like try and perfect it. I was like, this man is just trying his darndest, and I want him to succeed.
I was this man has been alone for too long. He needs a friend. I mean, why didn't his friend come with him? Like, when they were oh, bye. Like, make sure you eat when you're hungry and sleep when you're tired. I was like, why aren't you going with him?
Because they have to fish. And there's no fishing in Philadelphia.
I did like the little game plan they had where they're like, you can hand out this map, tape the lures to it as to what lure you should use where, and then you sell both. I'm like, that's great marketing. I was here for it.
I don't know what you're saying. Did you just speak English?
There was a point map. In the movie where they're at the fishing store and they're talking to this guy. I don't know anybody's names. It's fine. And they pull out a map and they lay out the map and they take different fishing lures and they tape them to different like lakes and bodies of water on the map. Oh. And it's like, that's great because you, first of all, you're selling the map and you're selling the lures and you're helping someone out.
What's a lure?
What do you mean? What's a lure?
A lure? A lure?
Oh, like, my God.
This word is losing all meaning now. Okay. Thing on the end.
Yeah, a like lure? A fishing lure. A lure. Lure. Say lure. You know, lure? Like where you pee is the loo and then
Lure?
You it's a word add it that's to
slightly
end.
Close to lore, and Sarah's just checked out. She thinks Giles is talking.
Yeah,
and she's
can.
Like, no, I don't want it.
Too British sounding for her. Lure. You put it at the end of a fishing line, and you use it to catch fish. A fishing lure. Have you never heard of this? What is wrong with you? Have you been fishing? Are you okay?
I at Jewish sleepaway camp. Yeah, I went fishing. I caught two fish, but
and
I didn't want to
use. Did you use a worm or did you use a lure?
We found clams, like little mussels on that? The sidelines, and then you smash them with a rock and we use that.
Okay. Well, lures exist. And you put lure. Them on
lure.
I can't lure? This. A lure! Say lure! It's two syllables. Also, Stuart, the fact that you haven't said lure, I hardly know her yet, is an indictment on you as a podcaster.
Honestly,
right now.
It's taking a lot of restraint.
So yeah, they sell fishing lures, which is a totally normal thing that everyone knows about except Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Why would I have to know that? I'm a city cat.
It's just a general thing that people know. Like, I can't imagine there's a single person out there that's going to be like, I didn't know a fishing lure existed.
I thought it was just like all, I thought it was bait.
I mean,
I don't care.
Is more
like, I don't care. This is like, it, honestly, like, this is like the least interesting thing about Harlan. So
I was just saying I appreciated the ingenuity. That's all. Anyway, let's move on from Harlan and talk about Sherry Cabot, who is played by Jennifer Coolidge. And she is like this trophy wife, I guess, right? She has this like super elderly man. And Stuart, I loved the scene where she's like, we like so many of the same things. We like talking and not talking.
It's hilarious. It's very like Anna Nicole Smith kind of like
joking
like vibes and references. And Jennifer Coolidge playing this character is like the perfect casting. Like she's got the voice, she's got the look, she's got everything. But she's also got this kind of like knowing awareness about her, which I always like about Jennifer Coolidge's characters. They're never like the dumb character. They play dumb, but you know there's something like else there going on. Mm-hmm. And also the guy looks like I wouldn't say like the Monopoly man, like this kind of like old stuffy kind of like vibe of thing.
He looks like he's about to die.
I mean, given the fact of how this like film ends, I suspect he probably has and just was never addressed because it kind of just happens. But yeah, wild.
Yeah, she arrives with, so she's won twice before with her poodle, Rhapsody in White.
Yeah, like typically show dogs have like very out there names.
That's, to me, that's more of a like racehorse thing than a, but like,
No, it's a show dog thing. Actually, it's definitely a show dog thing. And a lot of them have like family names. So like Rhapsody would be the family name and it'd be like Rhapsody in Blue and their actual name would be like Blue that you would call them like by.
I hate that. Dog, in my opinion, dog names, you need to be able to add an E noise at the end for it to be adequate. Winky, 10 out of 10, you know, no notes. Like you need to be like Hubert, maybe you do Birdie, you know, you need to be able to add the Y at the end for it to be a good name. Rhapsody in White is fucking horrible. First of all, it's too long. It's three words. It sounds fancy pants as fuck. It's awful.
Because it's a fancy dog. It's a standard poodle, a white standard poodle with two little butt pom-poms.
I hate the butt pom-poms. It looks like they tried to put hip pads. Like, Stuart, you love Drag Race. This is like hip pads to me on this like dog's butt.
Full on well-crafted foam padding that was like fully giving this poodle like body. But the weirdest thing was like it described it as having a plumber's ass, which made me laugh because I was just like, the ass is like fully exposed, but the hips are fully covered. I've never understood this whole thing with grooming poodles and like the whole almost like, is it topiary where you like cut bushes into shapes?
Yeah, feels like very topiary.
Yeah, like choose one or the other. Don't inflict this like hobby onto a poor creature that's just like
plants only.
I hated this. But I guess they call the dog Butch. And they have a trainer, Christy Cummings, played by Sarah, one of our favorite people in the world. What the heck is her name?
From Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch.
From Glee.
Famously, who said women shouldn't podcast because of their voices.
Also Pacey's mom.
Pacey's mom. She's like very competitive. This felt like an early version of What's Her Face from Glee. Did it to you too?
Sue Sylvester?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes and no. Like, I think that this character was actually like kinder, like obviously a better person than Sue. I really hated that character from Glee. Mm-hmm. But I think that like I did like these two. They're probably I don't know, not my favorite, definitely not my favorites, but maybe like my fourth favorites, which is actually the second to last.
Pretty low.
They're pretty like low. No, but like I do like them, and I do like the fact that like that there's like I don't know, a little bit of a spark between them. But you know, it's kind of like one of the scenes that, like, since they've won multiple times, you don't want them to win again. It's like, oh, the poodle's gonna win again.
Yeah. Stuart, my favorite thing about them was the little weird, I don't even know what it was. It kind of looked like earmuffs, but also like a headband that was on Leslie's head at one point when they were being interviewed.
It was so strange.
Sherry's.
The little poofy thing that just literally framed her face, but had like no hoods behind it.
What was that?
There was a lot of weird fashion choices going on. There was the red dress with like the gilding around her boobs.
Oh, just
worn
tits
with
out
a
everywhere.
Purple lipstick. Like, what was that choice going on?
That was
the description of the makeup. I was like, of what could have been put onto Jane Lynch's character was just like the I wanted to see it. I wanted to see how horrific it would have been. Like, I kind of wish that they had like shown us a shot of it and just her just wiping it off.
Yeah,
and just being like, no, I can't. I have to be professional, kind of thing.
Yeah, I do wish that like we saw a little bit of the makeover too. That would have been fun.
I really didn't, like, I love Jennifer Coolidge, obviously, but I really didn't care about this duo. I think part of it was, like, I don't like Jane Lynch, and so I just wasn't happy to see her on my screen. And then the other part was, like, they, like you said, they've won before. I'm not really a big fan of poodles. Like, I don't understand the grooming of a poodle. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't mind a poodle as a dog. Like, I think I jive with their temperament and everything. It's more of like, I don't understand the like over the top topiary-esque type grooming practices. And they'd won before, so you're really not rooting for them. But I did find their like little epilogue moment of them opening a magazine for lesbian owners of purebred dogs, like so specific, and calling it American Bitch.
Very niche, right? Extremely niche. But there's something for everybody out there.
There really is. Like, there's so many niche publications out there. I used to work with a couple of journalists, and one of them legitimately used to work for Concrete Magazine.
Oh,
it was all about just the concrete industry.
Yeah, I subscribe to that.
It's riveting, really is.
Truly.
And then another one went on to Oil Tank Magazine as well, which was all about storing oil. And these niches do exist out there. So everyone, pursue your dreams. Don't give up. Someone will buy it.
somebody out there. Now, thank you, Jazz, for saving the best for last.
Yep. Scott and Stefan Vanderhoof.
Now, this is a true love story because they were both, I think it's Scott. Scott was a hairdresser. And what was the other one again?
I think they both were hairdressers.
Well, what? Yeah, like the Stefan definitely. Oh no, wait, is that no? Gosh,
Scott is played by John Michael Higgins, and Michael McKean is Stefan Van der Hoof.
No, I don't think that's. I don't think Scott's the right name. I think that we messed up.
No, that's the right name.
No.
Scott Donlin.
Scott and Stefan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Trust me, I'm looking at the wiki.
I will never trust you.
And I'm looking at the IMDb. They're like, they're obviously, Sarah, to your point, one of the best couples. They're this like very over the top gay couple who have a Shih Tzu, Miss Agnes.
Two.
I think it's Miss Agnes that's in the competition though.
Yeah. Only one of them had to stay home. Why?
I don't know, but I did enjoy their phone call home to that one.
Yeah, because they're such good dog parents that they call their Shih Tzu and tell
sing
him,
to it.
And sing to him because he is a special star too. Even though he didn't make the dog show, he's a special star too.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is my favorite because I love Shih Tzus. I think that they are the best dog breed ever. Talk about a vested interest. I obviously am in love with the Shih Tzus.
Now, what did you think of the style?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
You know, you own, well, Bella's a mix, right? She's Lhasa Apso.
How dare you?
And Shih Tzu.
Her papers say that she is a designer dog breed, but also she's half Pekingese, half Shih Tzu.
Sorry, Pekingese, that's right. But what did you think of the hair?
Oliver was allegedly a full Shih Tzu.
Allegedly,
that's what they say. Both of my dogs, I adopted both my dogs, but they were both little puppy mill dogs. So who knows what their past
but
was.
But they didn't have the stylings that Miss Agnes had, like the long hair and the weird like bouffant in the clip.
It's
and
a lot, like that stuff. It's a lot of maintenance. And like, obviously I am, you know, it's hard enough to brush my Shih Tzus. They hate getting brushy. Like we call them brushies. They hate it.
Why at the end?
Once again, Oliver used to hide and...
Well, he's afraid of the world, so of course a brush would scare him.
And Belle just, like, straight up, like, tries to bite me whenever I brush her.
Love Shih Tzus. Sound wonderful to do.
They're the really best. Selling it.
No, they're such good dogs. They're so cute. But, yeah, like, I love the long stylings. I think I like, I mean, I really do love the top knots. And whenever Belle goes to the groomer, she gets little top knots, but then she takes them out of her hair. They don't last very long.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're such a good couple. Like they're very funny and they're likable and like they don't have big drama and there's no like random fucking randos coming up and saying that we had like, you know, sex 100 times like 50 years ago. So like they're pretty chill. And the strangest thing is like before I saw the movie today, I would have put money that the Shih Tzu won the show.
Like Sarah told me that the Shih Tzu won the show, or like maybe she thought I remembered because I thought I had seen this movie, or if I did see this movie, it was a really long time ago. And so I'm watching this movie this morning with my husband Will, and he's like, "Oh, do you know who wins?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure Sarah told me." And then the Shih Tzu doesn't win, and I was like, "Did Sarah not remember the ending of this movie?"
I would say that I remembered the ending that I wanted to see. Yeah. And I would have put money that the Shih Tzu won, but I don't know. So wait, hold on. So obviously we have to put like our stakes in the ground. I obviously was rooting for the Shih Tzu. I will always root for the Shih Tzu. And I watch the Westminster Dog Show every single year, which I think this year it's taking place in April. May, something like that. I've been before, by the way. I always root for the Shih Tzu, and just such a big Shih Tzu fan. In my Twitter bio says Shih Tzu lover, and I am. But anyway, Jess Sterling and Stuart, the Stuart,
the Stuart, the Stuart.
Yeah. Who were you rooting for?
Stuart, you go first. Who were you rooting for?
I don't want to add to it after you that can, absolute just fever dream of projection and invention of a film's ending that you want to happen. But I was rooting for Miss Agnes. She's fabulous.
She's fabulous. I don't know.
I'm so disappointed
she's
in you.
She's such
Stuart.
A good dog.
So disappointed.
She was
in
just
you.
A really she's good so dog. Fancy. Like she was like the one causing the hair? Least amount of bother. There was a lot of hair, but it was like
Jess,
it was
that's what they
high pony. Like it was
I can't.
One.
I just can't with the. I listen. You know me. I'm a big dog girly. You show me a big pupper, and I'm like, that's it. I want the long hair. I want long hair, but not hair that is like human hair, because it just weirds me out. It just weirds me out to have a dog that has that long of hair. Like even like the Afghan ones, like the really, really big dogs with long hair, it still weirds me out. It's just so much, and it looks like that's just I'm looking at it and it's tangling. Like I just feel like it would be a mess. So I had
no,
two dogs.
They take care of that, those dogs. Those dogs never jangle.
Well, I'm sure the show dogs. Yeah. So I had two dogs that I was like rooting for the whole time.
You can't, Jessica, you can't have two choices.
Well, no, I'll narrow it down. But I will say the top two for me were Winky, the terrier. One, because I loved Jerry and Cookie so much. And like, they loved Winky. Little Winky was so cute. He just got carried everywhere. He seemed happy to be there. He had a little hat, which I was a big fan of. And we do tend to nickname my dog Winston. We call him Winky a lot. So I also was like, you know, but the dog that I picked as my like winner pick that I was rooting for the whole time was the Bloodhound Hubert. He, like, all that extra skin. I love a bloodhound. I just think they're so freaking cute, and they just have those big old floppy ears, and they're just so freaking cute. I loved Hubert, and I was really sad when he didn't win.
He was too young, right, Stuart? Like, the announcers were saying, like, he was just not mature enough.
Yeah, a couple of years off, and he'd be, like, a top contender, but just too immature at this point. Just wait it out, Hubert. Hubert's going to get a blue ribbon. It's all right.
Yeah, eventually he will. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, obviously I was going to root for the bigger dog that wasn't, like, the fancy pants poodle. So, you know, no surprises there. We had no golden retriever representation, which honestly is the movie's biggest indictment, is that there wasn't a golden retriever in sight.
Or maybe they're a family dog, but they're not best in show. Have you
they're
thought about
America's
that?
Dog. That's what it is.
So, Stuart, did this movie feel very Americana? Because I felt like because each owner was from like a different state, you really saw like a widespread of like, you got somebody from Florida, from North Carolina, you got the city folk, you got Chicago. Like, did you feel like it was like a little bit of like Americana for you?
Completely. Like, I was kind of thinking like the only thing missing really from the kind of like representation of American stereotypes was really like a valley girl.
Yeah,
kind of. But really, it was this like, just we'll take someone from here to someone from here, throw them together, and we'll just kind of like stereotype the shit out of them, and see what happens. It kind of gave me the same vibes of as Drop Dead Gorgeous, another mockumentary, like dealing with the kind of like same vibes of just
delving into
a niche competition that is very kind of
should
American.
We watch that? That's like a 90s movie that we haven't watched yet.
Stuart is dying to cover that movie.
Really?
He mentioned it recently. Yeah.
Look at me, Loki, just mentioning it now. Just in case. I adore that film so much. I've watched it like maybe 20 times. It's incredible. But yeah, if you're a fan of mockumentaries, like that one is a top tier recommend for me.
Yeah, this I just can't. This movie was like pretty insane, like, to be honest, and to find out that a lot of it was improv made a ton of sense to me, especially when you look at who's in it. Like, you have just like Parker Posey, you know what I mean? Like, everyone who's really good at improv involved in this. But I have to say, one of my favorite characters is someone we haven't discussed yet. And it was Fred Willard, who plays this like host of the dog show, who knows fucking shit all about dogs. He knows absolutely nothing. And his commentary, especially with the other guy, like Trevor, I think his name is, who's like the expert. He's just like, you can just see he's so fucking pissed off the entire time when Fred Willard says anything. Sarah, I love Fred Willard. And I thought that his performance was just 10 out of 10 for me in this movie.
Yeah, his performance is really funny. And a lot of the times when I listen to color commentary about like the dog show, and not necessarily the Westminster dog show, because that one's a little bit more serious, but I think that there is like this other one that takes place around Thanksgiving, and that one.
Oh, it's on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
That one's just full of fuckery. And I think that's not as high of caliber of a dog show. And sometimes I listen, I'm like, these people don't know fuck shit about dogs, especially in comparison. But it is very funny. And I liked a lot of his lines. And from what I've read on the IMDb, it was based off of some sort of sportsman that has that kind of did something similar.
Where some sportsman. That fucking sportsman.
Baseball, something or other. But yeah, it was like very funny to see him in juxtaposition of like this like upper crust British guy that was like very knowledgeable about the dog breeds, and just seeing him have to like tolerate the nonsense.
It was so good. He's just so ridiculous. Like the questions he asks is so stupid. And like, yeah, like this is a common thing where at dog shows, the dogs aren't like, you know, they're still intact. They haven't been spayed or neutered. And so he's just like, oh, he's grabbing his balls. Like,
he was saying just the most absurd stuff. Like when Cookie walked out and was like, that handle looks familiar to me, I lost it. I was like, of course that would be the case.
Yeah, but then yeah,
just
also
just randomly asking, just going like nothing to do with the show whatsoever, just going, how much do you think I could bench press? Like,
it was just so stupid. And at first he says like, oh, like 150. And then like later on, like a minute later, he's like, yeah, like I bench press 320. And it's like, sir.
Yeah.
No, you do not. He's a very enjoyable character as well. Like I think like I really love ensemble casts, and I think it's like, you know, going back to like, you know, Wes Anderson is another person that I feel like does like the ensemble cast so well. And yeah. I really enjoyed this watch of Best in Show. I would definitely watch it again. Maybe I think I've watched Mighty Winds, but I didn't like it as much. But how about you, Stuart? Like, it was your first watch. Like, what'd you think? Like, overall, would you recommend this to anybody?
So I watched it for the first time earlier today, and my initial thought, like the first thing I said when it finished was, what did they make me watch? And then, but the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, I'm so glad of it, because it is just bonkers. And I kind of like films that just do this, that just are like, we're going to be weird, but we're not going to be like, you know, random weird. We're just going to be just like, we're going to embrace the kind of like strangeness of just people in like different areas that have particular quirks and things like that, that just come about. And I think the improv nature of it makes it so much better for that, because it feels real. Like, it doesn't feel like someone playing characters. It feels like people just living these characters and coming out with these like quirky things that they say. So yeah, I'd absolutely recommend it. Like, I'm really surprised that it has flown under my radar, because this is exactly my kind of film that would probably be one that I've watched over and over again, like on VHS from the rental store when I was younger, had I gone for it.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially as a kid who loved dogs. I don't know why I didn't watch this more. Like, I literally would go to a bookstore and buy dogs or buy books about dog breeds. That is just like adult ones. Like, they weren't like children's books. Like, that's how much I loved dogs. I watched the dog show every year, the National Dog Show. That's on Thanksgiving.
The one that I said was shit.
Yeah, the one that you said was shit is the one I really like. But Sarah, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Do you know the breed that last won the National Dog Show?
Was it the Pekingese last year?
No, it was this really weird one. It's like Selium Terrier. It's like a very
rare dog show breed. The fuckery?
This is the the one you don't like, Sarah. The fuckery one. The National Dog Show. The one that has...
Wait, what does this dog look like? Send me a link.
Looking dog. Yeah, it has like... It's one of the terriers that has like the really long face. and it has like a beard and everything with the hair, you know.
Gross.
But I will say the year before in 2022, a French bulldog took home the prize and his name was Winston. So
wow,
it's exciting.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, a golden hasn't won.
No, they haven't
there
won.
There was one named Daniel like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yes, I saw Daniel. I saw Daniel in person.
I love Daniel.
I went to the Westminster Dog Show February 2020, and I saw Daniel in person.
He was everything.
And he was very popular, but he was a fucking loser. So
wow. He was such a good boy. And he was so fucking cute. He was like one of the cutest goldens I've seen on the dog show in a long time.
The standard poodle won that year.
Ugh, of course they did.
Yeah. Last year, a petite basset griffon. Oh, I don't even know that dog.
Oh, Brussels griffon?
No.
Oh, that's a different one.
No, yeah. And then the year before that, the bloodhound won. So
I do like a bloodhound.
And then the year before that, it was the Pekingese. So I'm like 3 years behind. But I gotta be honest. Like the Shih Tzu has not won Best in Show, but they have won best in
like category
group.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times. But the Golden Retriever has only won Best in Group once. Awkward. Wow.
So rude. Who do we think has the best ending of this movie? Like the best epilogue, right? Jerry and Cookie, they are like famous now because, as we mentioned before, so Cookie dislocates her knee. So Jerry has to go be the handler with his two left feet and they win. Winky wins. And then they start recording songs about terriers. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yeah.
Can't with the captain and the cookie, the little like tape of them singing. The singing's awful.
Well,
and
even
like couple it out with the fact that like poor Jerry, he's getting cucked again at the end because that whole interaction with the sound booth guy was just grim. Like the whole I'm growing right now looking at you.
Ugh, oh, so nasty.
Worst line ever.
So nasty. Yeah, it was really bad. We have Christy and Sherry Ann have American Bitch, the magazine. And then we have Harlan, who is like entertaining people with like some kind of weird ventriloquist, like honky tonk.
That was the worst timeline for him to go to. Yeah, we don't, we're not ventriloquist friends.
No, friends of ventriloquists. Really
no, we don't like
that. As well. So bad.
It was really bad. Stefan and Scott. Have like a calendar that have Shih Tzus in costumes.
10 out of 10,
movies.
No notes, gorgeous. Yes, famous couples in
Casablanca.
Costume. Yes, gorgeous. I think that they have the best outcome. So, and they're happy and they have their calendars. And Miss Agnes, is that her name?
Yeah, Miss Agnes.
And the other one, whatever his name is, they just live their best lives together. And their fancy hair and their fancy New York apartment. They're living their best life.
It's so funny. I've got a note here that just says, the calendar is something I can totally see you doing, Sarah. So that
yeah. I love the calendar. It's so good. Oh,
God.
I would love to dress up the animals in fancy costumes. So good.
And then we already talked about Megan Hamilton. Get rid of Beatrice and get a pug named Kipper. Who's a little fucking perv.
And that's what they chose to end with. Just
that's the one. That's the choices. One that ended the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that's like, what? That?
Yeah. Why? Yeah. I like Jerry and Cookie's ending the best. They won the show. They took down the prize poodle and they're recording little love songs together. And Winky's despite the fact
not
that
not winning again, that was like a freak accident. They pitied them, to be honest.
That is not true.
That's true. It's true. They pitied him.
He was so well behaved and such a good boy. He deserved.
They pitied him because they knew that Cookie was hurt, and they let Cookie, they let Winky win.
It's not true.
It's true.
I think it's I think it's kind of true. I think that I don't think it's necessarily a sympathy vote for Winky. I think it's the fact that they were worried that it's like a whole Tonya Harding situation going on. And so they were like, oh, her knees hurt. We have to let them win.
They're afraid of a lawsuit.
Exactly.
Because if they lose, Winky, then they're going to like, they're like, re-roll the tapes. We want to see if there is like something on the floor, on the turf, or like if somebody like left something out to trip. Like it's a major lawsuit.
So well, there's blame, like, there's a claim.
Yes, yeah. Like it's like if we placate them and let them win, like a whole dog show conspiracy, 1,000%. Because I'm telling you, Miss Agnes was pristine. She did nothing wrong. She was well behaved. She followed direction. She totally glided down the pathway. Like I'm telling you, there was some sort of fuckery afoot.
Mm-hmm. Robbed.
Robbed. Right now. Robbed goddess. I'm upset right
now. How goddess. Dare you disrespect Winky? He was at the true meaning of an underdog, and he came out victorious, and you're trying to invalidate his win and put an asterisk next to his name.
It's
ridiculous.
I mean, star. Yeah.
Also, Sarah, I just want to say, you said yourself that the National Dog Show is fuckery. Apparently, this movie was the inspiration for it. For the actual real life National Dog Show.
What do you mean? This movie inspired
the National Dog Show started after this movie. The National Dog Show isn't that old. It started in 2001.
Well, the Westminster Dog Show has been around since the 1920s.
Let me look. Westminster Kennel. Where is it? History. Requirements for entry. 1887. 1887.
Yeah.
1877. I don't know how to read.
Oh. Well, what kind of dog either. Went back then?
Oh, God. Do they even have the...
Yeah. I was on the Wikipedia before.
Wow, you guys beat List our one. Winners. Over here, we have Crufts, which happens every year, which is like the premier like dog show. That was 1891, apparently.
Now I want to see. This is
the
crazy.
Fox Terrier. Smooth. They it so started off a lot of terriers won the Scottish Terrier, the Airedale Terrier. And then like blah 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 bulldog, bull terrier.
Sarah, do you have a favorite breed of dog? Because I feel like we already know Sarah and I, so you have to put your thumb on the scale somewhere. What's your favorite breed of dog?
So here's the thing. I'm gonna not be Sarah's favorite here. I do like golden retrievers. They are
They're suck
good
it!
People, good boys.
You're
however,
psycho.
I also absolutely adore corgis with
little
chonky corgis. Like you just want to pick them up, hug
That's
them.
That's the most British thing you've ever said. Besides, I love tea. corgis are great. I think the problem for I love corgis, like because like I was saying, the breeder that I used to work for when I was a kid also had corgis, and they really are like big dog mentality and like a little bit of a smaller package.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is because they're a herding breed. I don't know that would jive with me. Like I don't want my dog like trying to herd me constantly. I don't know that's my thing. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I will say like I like them like as in pictures of. I've never really had much exposure to corgis, really, but they just seem like little footstools, little chunky.
They're little baked potatoes.
Yeah, they're little loafs. They're so cute. Yeah, there you go. Well, Sarah, I mean, I guess we saw who just won that, so I'm just, you know, enough said there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go and live on my own with my Shih Tzus and be really happy.
There you go. And in your mind, the Shih Tzu did win Best in Show, even though that is not actually what happened.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that after right this second, I'm just going to erase it from my memory. And then I'm going to like rewrite it that the Shih Tzu won.
Okay.
And it's
It's the director's cut. So much so that, like, I was so convinced that I was like, does this movie have multiple endings? Like, a clue? And did I see the wrong ending? I was, like, so convinced. But, yeah, I don't trust anything now because The Notebook changed their ending streaming. So I don't believe anything these days.
Yeah, it is pretty fucked.
It was terrible.
That. Especially because it was a good ending and they ruined it.
Well... Happy March and congratulations to you two for starting a brand new podcast Talking Shit on our sister podcast. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me finally got the little sister that she never wanted. So
very true, actually.
So happy. And good luck to you too. And I will be, of course, listening. And where can we find Talking Shit with the two stars of Best in Show, Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy,
Schitt's Creek.
I just wanted to let you keep going.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get there eventually. We all get there. But like, where can we find your podcast? What's the deal? When's it coming out? I think I know. But
we record on Wednesdays, release on Fridays. So by the time this comes out, we'll have released our first the pilot. Our cup runneth over. And yeah, you can find us Talking Shit everywhere. That's Talking without a G, and make sure you're spelling it like Schitt's Creek, S-C-H-I-T-T, is where you can find us on all social media, on your podcatcher of choice, on YouTube, if you want to watch our beautiful faces, as we talk about the show. We're looking to keep it bite-sized. So the podcasts are mostly going to be around the like 30 to 45 minute mark, if we can help it. Go ahead, Sarah.
Should I add it to my podcatcher now?
I mean, you should, if you really want to be our sister, then yes.
I've been trying to ignore the fact that I have a new baby sister, just like I did the first time around. But I suppose, just like in real life, I have to accept my new sister in my life.
Yeah, love and accept us.
Yeah. Here's the proof.
Wow, look at that.
A green check.
Miracles do happen. Instantly unsubscribe.
She's like, as soon as this is over, I'm unsubscribing from this garbage. So that's where you can find us weekly. Like we said, we record on Wednesdays, so if you do want to send in feedback, make sure you do it by Wednesday, and they'll be released on Fridays, so you'll have a little bit of a fun morning commute with some Schitt's Creek talk. And Sarah, what else do we have going on here?
Well, we have our weekly coverage of Felicity and Buffy. And then I don't know, we have a birthday coming up, and then after that, I don't know what else we're doing, but that's, who knows? Only time will tell. The exciting stuff on Shit 90 Shows.
Actually, this is going to release on your birthday. So if you're listening to this podcast on the day it released, if you don't wish Sarah a happy birthday, she will make note of it. And
I have this chart system that I'm going to do this year where it's, what time a person has wished me a happy birthday and the quality of the message. So I will remember and keep that in my Rolodex for the future. So
yeah, incredible. Someone's 6 hours ahead of you. I feel I have the jump on that. Perfect. Yeah.
We love an advantage. I'm one hour ahead of you, so I have a little bit of wiggle room there.
That is true.
So anyway, if you want to follow along with everything, at Shit90sPod is where you can find us. Stuart, if people want to follow you as an individual to see what you're talking about, where can they find you?
I mean, firstly, direct them to an insane asylum. But yeah, no, if you want to find me, Stuart Drinks Tea is where you'll find me on most of the socials.
Such a British handle.
I know, right? Stereotype.
So that's where you could find us. And we'll be back chatting Felicity, chatting Buffy, and go make sure to subscribe to Talking Shit like Sarah did. Don't be a loser, okay? Just be nice and follow us and just subscribe and listen, because it's going to be fun. All right. Well, that's everything. Until next time, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.